Good afternoon.
Turn right on Station Street and go right on Hamlet Road.
Good afternoon, coaches.
Afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, colleagues. Compliments. Good afternoon, Honorable Jawa.
Ujabo ngena ngeposho.
Kyambona. I think she was having a quality time. She's got a beach or a swimming pool. It was tough, ne?
Command.
How are you, Chair? Honorable Chair?
She indicated that she tried to log in if she's able. Chairpersons, I do have quite a number of members present in the meeting as we speak. I would want to hand over to the co-chairpersons. It is 2 o'clock, and we are able to proceed, chairpersons. I will try and get the agenda on the screen in a minute. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Co-chair, are you taking over? Ma'am Mahlangu? Co-chairperson?
Maybe you should continue, Chair.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me take this opportunity and welcome all of you, honorable members. I see we have 76 participants on the platform. I'm not in an inducive environment. Let me just quickly try to get a stable place. My apologies for that. I thought Mama Sangu will take over. But I was saying that I see we have 76 participants on the platform. I will not be able to recognize each and every one of you members. This is an agent meeting. I know that there was a decision to invite Public Works. I'm not sure Public Works Portfolio Committee and Select Committee. I'm not sure if there's any portfolio committee or subcommittee from the security cluster, the police as well. I'm not sure. But there was a decision yesterday that we ought to extend the invitation to those two portfolio committees. Chairpersons and whips of those committees, if they are here, you are also welcome. Compliments of the new season. I also want to thank our staff members for always being on standby and committed to supporting us as members of staff, for supporting us as members of parliament. The agenda is there on the screen. I think we are all aware of the current developments in parliament, and we felt that it would be appropriate that we continue to conduct oversight, but we become more organized in doing that. Hence, we felt that we should then request members during their constituency period to please put everything else aside and come and attend this urgent meeting so that we can then map a way forward as to what is it that we are going to do then moving forward, given the fact that we are expecting
recording in progress.
Sona in the next 2 weeks, I think the first or second week of February. If Parliament is not in a good state or in a good condition for hosting ISONA, what is it or what that we are going to do as well? I think collectively, those are the objectives that we ought to achieve when we attend this meeting. The agenda is there, the adoption of the agenda. I don't think there will be anyone who will be against the adoption of the agenda. At the moment, we will not deal with any apologies because it was an open invitation, and those who are not here, it would be for reasons. Later, at the later stage, maybe we'll do that. We only have one agenda item, which is briefing on parliamentary finding of the fire incident within the precinct of Parliament. We have invited Public Works. We have invited the Speaker's office. I'm not sure if the Speaker is here. And the chairperson of the NCOP, I'm also not sure if they are on the platform. If they are, you are welcome. Dr. Masondo and Mama.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I see Minister Dilil is also here. Maybe before we can hand over to the presiding officers, just to briefly take us through and open the platform for us so that we can then invite Public Works to give us a presentation. We know that it might be prematurely at the moment for us to be able to get relevant answers. I see there's a hand of Member Singh. I want to recognize Member Singh. Then after that, then I can then allow presiding officers to then, there's also the hand of Romeo. Can we quickly take those two hands? Yes. Honorable
Chairperson. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings to all colleagues and ministers and presiding officers in line. Compliments of the new year to you. Honorable Chairperson, thank you for calling this meeting. I note that there is another meeting scheduled for 5 o'clock this afternoon where party leaders and the Speaker and the presiding officers have invited the chief whips, etc. Now, I just hope that in this presentation here, whoever is presenting sings from the same hymn book, because I would not like to see us getting conflicting reports from different people, and the media, you know, also gets a bit confused with what is happening. So I just trust that the purpose of this meeting is well intended, and that the reports that we receive now from the presiding officers and the minister will be the same that we receive at 5 o'clock when the speaker and party leaders are invited to that meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Noted, Honorable Singh. Can I take the second hand?
Afternoon, Chairperson. It's Ms. Jawa. I'm linked to as Romeo because Romeo Ngolot. Good afternoon, honorable members. I was just tendering an apology for the speaker who's still engaged in a meeting. And as soon as she's available, she will be able to come. She said I should present her apology. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Jawa, the Acting Secretary to Parliament. Is there any other hand?
Yeah, Chairperson, I saw the hand of Honorable Mushodi. I'm sorry, my apologies for getting in late. I was struggling. I connected earlier. While Honorable Mushodi is coming, can I say something with your permission, Co-Chairperson?
Yes, Chair, that's fine.
Chair, I really appreciate what Honorable Singh is saying, but I think we need to treat the matter on the table with caution and not scare away the colleagues, the responsible people who are giving us information. If there are developments, they must not be scared to give those developments because we don't know what might happen between now and 5 o'clock. But I understand what he's saying. Just to let them be free to give us information as much as possible. But we're not saying you're limited to what you are giving us now going forward. Thank you, Co-Chairperson. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon. I didn't raise my hand, Honorable Chairperson. I'm okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Members, I think we're going to have a long meeting. We should also be cautious of the fact that there's another meeting at 16 hours. So let us just try to get through this one agenda, special agenda item. And I'll spend more time on clarity-seeking questions. We are aware that most of the questions that might be posed today might not be responded to. We should allow investigations to continue and give the relevant authorities time to do that. We should not even try to rush to get to conclusions or to try to get to answers. We should allow a thorough investigation process to unfold. Mem Tawa, I want to invite you. I'm not sure if Ntate Masondo is on the platform. Yes. No, let me recognize Ntate Masondo. Let me invite you. You will then decide if you are going to hand over to Metro Hour. We'll then later invite Minister Delil to then take us through the report.
Can you ask all the participants to open their videos? It's a request from Computers and all our partners in the media that we open our videos as we speak. Please, Madam Chair.
Okay. Yours is all right. It starts with me. My humble apologies. No, Honorable it's fine. Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces.
Yes. Yes, no, thank you very much, Honorable Co-Chairpersons. Minister Patricia Delil, and all the colleagues on the platform. I thought that maybe one should make a suggestion right at the beginning that perhaps we should afford the Minister Delil an opportunity to speak and that this may be to the benefit of all of us and only really allow on my part space to respond if there are specific questions. In that way, we'll also avoid what we are warning us against, the numerous reports that may be presented with the possibility of some contradictions that may not look very important now. But this may be the case at a later stage. So I'll be pleased to participate in the meeting and play my role. But I do note the caution. and the comment that has been made. Thank you very much. But if there's a view that I should speak a little bit, I can do that. Whatever the feeling may be.
Yes, Tate Masondo, that was the view. That was the intention why we invited you on the platform. We want you to speak a little bit. I think it will help for you to speak so that you lay the foundation.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Let me begin by greeting everybody and acknowledging everybody on the platform. And to express well wishes and compliments for the new year. We start this year, Honorable Co-Chairpersons, under stressful circumstances. The issue of the fire that broke out in Parliament and that has affected the buildings in the precincts of Parliament is really a matter that is uppermost in many people's minds. Just as a brief commentary, all of us would accept that South Africa has a legislature or parliament that plays an important role in the lives of all the people in the country, and that makes ongoing impact in the country as a whole. In an ongoing manner. The members of parliament are elected to represent the people in the country, and they also act as the voice of the people. Parliament, therefore, is broadly accountable to the people of South Africa. The legislative power of the Republic is vested in parliament. In other words, the parliament is responsible for making and passing the laws. Parliament also, the National Assembly in particular, chooses the president, that's the president, and is the national forum where issues are publicly debated. The National Assembly also has a responsibility to scrutinize and oversee the actions of the executive. On the other hand, the National Council of Provinces must ensure that provincial interests are taken into account in national government. It does this by, amongst others, taking part in the lawmaking process and by being the forum where issues affecting the provinces are also publicly debated. Therefore, the key functions of our parliament, amongst others, to make and pass laws, oversee government action through oversight, promote public participation and involvement, promote cooperative governance amongst all spheres of government, and to promote parliamentary diplomacy by, amongst others, engaging in international relations or related matters. As part of the broader context, on the 2nd of January 2022, a fire was reported to the emergency services in the city of Cape Town. It is reported that the EMS responded within 6 minutes and activated its services. But also members would remember that during the evening of the 16th of March 2021, a fire-related incident was reported to the emergency services of the city of Cape Town. the place was contained during the early hours of the 17th of March, 2021. And this incident happened after hours. No occupants were present and no injuries were reported. The cause of the fire was an electrical fault, and no foul play was found by the South African police services. The fire that was reported on the 2nd of January 2022 led to the burning of the National Assembly Chamber, old Assembly Chamber, and some of the offices of members of Parliament. Until then, some important sections were reported to have been saved, and these include the NCOP chamber and offices, the parliament library, and the museum and artworks and heritage objects, as well as this case camera tapestry on the ground floor of the old assembly building. But the fire has since worsened, as we all know. It has worsened since then. It may be under control now. But when it worsened, what that really said to all of us was that we must await further reports on possible other losses and damage. On meetings with the stakeholders, just to say that yesterday, on the 3rd of January 2022, we spent the day in consultation with management looking at this matter. We got a briefing from the emergency services. We met with the Minister of Public Works and also had a media briefing. We also met with the senior police officers who assured us of their commitment to enforce the law and ensure thoroughgoing, ongoing investigations. On the president and ministers, we are grateful to President Cyril Ramaphosa and a number of ministers who have been hands-on from the outset and who have provided moral support to the firefighters and related services. On members of parliament, just to say that the public representatives and members of parliament have made a commitment to leave no stone unturned to enable appropriate action to be taken by all the various and relevant authorities to pursue the question of oversight to its logical conclusion. So work is ongoing. On being resilient and adapting to the situation, given the COVID-19 pandemic experience, Parliament has had to demonstrate its agility and resilience and ensure sustainable delivery of services. Amongst others, we have, as we all know, a responsibility to help deliver and support SONA, State of the Nation Affairs, the budget, and various programs of government. As I conclude, co-chairpersons, many, as we all know, are still reeling from shock at the incident of the devastating fire that has gutted some important buildings of the in the parliamentary precinct. Parliament is a national key point, as we all know, and the legislative seat of our country. The loss is therefore beyond any measure. Although we know that work ultimately must lead us to a situation where there's a proper assessment and evaluation of what has happened. We reiterate as presiding officers our appeal for calm and caution against any speculation. We encourage everyone, encouraging everyone to afford both the law and enforcement authorities, as well as forensic teams, the space to investigate and provide the much needed conclusive information. We will make every effort to ensure that the business of Parliament is not negatively impacted upon. And as we speak, there are tentative discussions. I'm sure Minister De Lille will have an opportunity to make a comment or two on this matter. So work is ongoing to ensure that the work of Parliament continues. Thank you very much. Yalebuha. Thank you.
That was a chairperson. I don't know if a co-chairperson is online or she's been kicked out.
I am. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, Tatemo Masondo, for the opening remarks. Indeed, when we look on TV, it shows that the damage is so severe that it might even take us long to repair or to rebuild Parliament. But those are the issues that we'll continue to engage on as we continue. I'm also happy about the fact that you've made a commitment that you will do whatever possible to make sure that the work of Parliament will continue, that nothing will have to stop us from doing the work of Parliament, of passing budgets, State of the Nations, and of course, the continuous conducting of oversight. So thank you for that. Members, I'm not going to allow for questions or comments at this stage. I want to first check Lim Mejawa if there's anything that she would like to say before we can then invite the minister. Then after that, we'll then open for clarity-seeking questions, suggestions, if there are any, and recommendations finally. Mejawa, is there anything that you would like to say?
There is nothing I want to say at all. Thank you so much.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Minister De Lille, I want to now invite you on the platform. I'm not sure if you are going to be personally presenting or you will be asking one of your team members to present on behalf of the department. You're welcome.
Thank you, Honourable Co-Chairperson Mabe and Co-Chairperson Maslangu and the Honourable Members that are on the virtual platform. I want to greet you and say best compliments for the season, although our year started on a very wrong footing. Chairperson, I will be giving you two reports that is not included for now in the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. And then the Acting Director General will also give us more information. Honourable Chairpersons, I would like to start with the issue of alternative accommodation. Yesterday, as Public Works, in our meeting with the Speaker, because we briefed the Speaker yesterday when she arrived from his London, we put two proposals or two options to the Speaker. The one option is the Cape Town International Convention Center. They have offered that they can help us with alternative accommodation. And the second option came from Mayor Jordan Hill Lewis, who had offered the City Hall. And also is also offered the council chambers and some offices that were renovated by the city recently. Now, it is now up to the presiding officers with Madam Speaker to indicate to us as public works what their needs are, how many offers will they need and all of that. So the needs assessment is currently being done by Madam Speaker and the presiding officers. And once we have that, and we will then engage with the two proposals that is now on the table for alternative accommodation. So there, we've not concluded that as yet. The second report that I want to give to honorable members is that yesterday we also started with a 10-member engineering experience panel. Some structural engineers, mechanical, civil, electric, an architect has also joined the team. And they are going to make an assessment about the extent of the damage, the extent of the repairs, the cost of the repairs, and also how long it will take to repair or even rebuild part of the parliament precincts. So yesterday, the team was very confident that by Friday this week, they will be able to give us a preliminary report. But yesterday, they could not enter the building because the temperature was about 100 degrees Celsius. The day before, it was 440 degrees Celsius. And they then opted to use drones to gain access into Parliament. Just as they started using the drones, then the second flare-up came. So they were not able to do much yesterday. So I can't say with confidence that they will be able to give me a preliminary report by Friday. I'm speaking to them on a daily basis. And we have also appointed a fire expert that will be working together with a forensic team from the city of Cape Town to also investigate where the fire started, what is the cause of the fire. And again, that work is ongoing. And we first have to wait now for the city of Cape Town, the fire team, to hand over the building to the South African Police Services because it is a crime scene, and to hand over the building to the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure to allow our engineering team and professionals access to the building. But we will keep members up to date on these two issues. Then I just want to say, honorable members, we did brief the speaker yesterday. I was on the site together with Deputy Minister Zizi Kodwa from early morning on Sunday. The speaker couldn't get a flight. He finally drove down to Cape Town. And so yesterday, as the Department of Public Works, we gave the speaker and her team and also the chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, we gave the presiding officers a report on the progress on the restoration project. As you know, we had a fire in Parliament about 10 months ago on the 16th of March. We gave a progress report to the speaker and presiding officers. We also reported to the presiding officers about a power failure incident that happened on the 21st of December when we had total darkness in the city center and also the Atlantic seaboard and what we have done around the 21st of December to make sure that after the power was restored that that we make sure that all the safety measures were in place. Then we also gave the speaker a report on the fire equipment service report. And then our involvement as DPWI in the security system of Parliament DPWI has procured the CCTV cameras, and we've got a contractor on board that check and maintain the CCTV cameras at all times. And so we also gave the speaker a report about that. We also had on Sunday a brief the president, and he came to look for himself. We also briefed the premier of the province. And I must say that it was just so, amongst all the doom and gloom, for me what stood out was just the power, the outpour of help coming from the city, coming from the province, coming from ordinary citizens. And I think we must, whatever we say or do, the firefighters, I was there with them until 11:45 last night. They were very professional. They really did their best working around the clock to try and contain the fire. And our gratefulness must go out to the city of Cape Town and the fire team for their sterling performance. Honorable Chairpersons, I will now ask Acting Director General Imtiaz Faisal to take us through the details of the report. This is a preliminary report that we have specifically compiled so that we can brief the speaker. We are in the process, as we get in more information, to compile a report if any other parliamentary committee or the speaker or the chair of the NCLP want more information. We are updating the report on a daily basis, and we will be there, honorable members of parliament, to work with you and answer your queries and your concerns. So through you, honorable chairperson, I will now give over to the acting director general, Imtiaz Faisal. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister, and good afternoon, the honorable chairpersons and all honorable members. Chairpersons, as the Minister has mentioned, we'll cover three or four particular areas in the presentation. The first is the restoration project, and this is pursuant to the fire-related incident at the old assembly during the evening of the 16th of March, 2021. We'll then move over to the fire equipment service report, where we'll also cover the sprinkler systems, the fire panels, and in particular, the frequency of maintenance of our systems to respond to a fire. And then we'll move on to a security report, including a power incident report that talks to the power outage referred to by the Minister in the CBD on the 21st of December, 2021, and the impact on Parliament and how we dealt with that before concluding with our current initiatives. Chairpersons, I'd like to call on Tembeka Kolele and Zwandile Sazona. They are our two project managers dealing with the incident at Parliament and all construction-related matters and facilities management in the parliamentary precinct. Let me hand over to Tembeka. Tembeka, please.
Thank you, Acting DG. Good afternoon, honorable chairpersons, honorable members and minister and acting DG. My name is Tembeka Kolele, as indicated by the acting DG. I'm responsible for the infrastructure implementation in the Western Cape. I have requested my colleague from Parliament to assist me with the presentation. In the morning, we had technical glitches, so I'm trying to prevent that mishap from happening. Ms. Sungu, can you please share the presentation on the screen?
Will this one now? Llewellyn, can you please project it for us? We've just sent it to you, the presentation.
I'm trying as we speak, if you just give me 1 second.
Thank you.
Can everybody see that?
Yes, we can. Thank you very much. Can we go to the next slide, please?
Okay.
She has already indicated that we will be covering the four areas in the presentation. We would look at the restoration project. We would look at the fire equipment service report. We'd be looking at the security systems report, the frequency of maintenance, and the power incident that took place on the 21st of December. Next slide, please. The purpose of this presentation is to provide an update on the areas that are potentially linked to the fire incident that occurred on the 2nd of January, as indicated above. Next slide, please. The first report will be looking at the restoration project. I think the chairperson of the NCOP indicated earlier that a fire-related incident was reported in the old assembly on the 16th of March. The fire brigade was notified and the blaze was contained during the early hours of March the 17th. Emergency procedures were followed, including the grounding of lifts, termination of the electrical power, the shutting down of the HVAC system. The shutting down of the HVAC system to the affected wing of the building. As the incident happened after hours, no occupants were present and no injuries were reported. We presented two reports to the Joint Standing Committee for Financial Matters in Parliament. The first report was presented as a draft report on the 14th of May, 2021. And on the final report was presented on the 17th of May, indicating that the cause of the fire was an electrical fault and that no foul play was found by the South African Police Services. Next slide, please. When the South African Police investigation was concluded, the NDPWI technical team then were granted permission to conduct a thorough assessment on the damages caused by the fire. The final reports with cost estimates were submitted on the 30th of May 2021 for the registration of the project and funding request. There is a process within the department when we have to start a new project. We have to undergo a specific process where the project is registered and the funding requirements are tabled in specific committees, and then that request is then granted when the funding will be made available. The approval process then was concluded on the 14th of September, and something that we call within the department a planning instruction was then issued to the regional office of the Western Cape on the 8th of October to commence with the implementation of the project. To expedite the project implementation, the regional office then decided to utilize the departmental professional team to compile the tender document to save on the time when it comes to the procurement of the consultants. The only consultant that was required is the specialist heritage consultant as a condition that was stipulated in the approval that was granted by SARA. SARA is the South African Heritage Resource Council. Now, to save the time, we decided on the internal professionals. Usually, we would go out on open tender to appoint a team of consultants that would plan the project and design the project and then implement the project on behalf of the department, then appoint the contractors. So we decided to circumvent that process, and we decided to utilize the internal professionals to do this work. The project then needed to be added onto the approved procurement plan before the procurement of the heritage consultant and the contractor. And the approval to add the project to the procurement plan was granted on the 29th of November 2021. During this period, the department issued a bulletin to all that all procurement must cease by the 29th of November, as directed by National Treasury. You would remember, honorable members and chairpersons, that when the builders shut down, it comes through during the December period, it means that the suppliers are closed. It means that you can't acquire materials. You won't even be able to get a decent quotation during that time because the process is going to be delayed by the industry that is closed. So this directive was issued. The procurement of all services in terms of the directive that was issued was going to start on the 15th of January 2022. All tender documents are ready for this date, and the department was going to explore the avenues to expedite this process. This is before the incident that took place on the 2nd of January 2022. It was envisaged that through that process that by March 2022, we will have a contractor on site, which was only going to be dealing with the area that was affected by the fire that took place on the 16th of March 2021. This is before the incident that took place on the 2nd of January. Now, I'm going to move over to the fire equipment service report. During that incident in March 2021, there was an issue with the water in the fire hydrants. When the fire trucks came into the precinct, they struggled with the fire hydrants because they must connect to the fire hydrants in order for them to be able to put out the fire. There was an issue in the fire hydrants and the fire hose reels. It was discovered that there was a leak in one of the pipes on the lift shaft. The leaking pipes and the corroded pipes were replaced with galvanized pipes on the 20th of April 2021. And then on the 14th of August 2021, as you would know, that the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure is responsible for the facilities management in the precinct. When there's an issue in the precinct, the parliament staff would then call the call center, the facilities management call center of the department, and we would ensure that that call is logged and we have a CPT number, and that number would then be issued to the service provider to come out and deal with the specific incident. So on the 14th of August 2021, there were leaking pipes that were reported in the new assembly. These pipes were replaced on the 19th of October 2021. Excuse me. Excuse me, I've put there in bracket that there was a steel shortage in SA. You would remember with the COVID pandemic, there was an issue with the steel supply in the country, and it has been causing problems and delays throughout the construction industry. So we were delayed by the shortages of steel, hence the replacement of these lines was only concluded on the 19th of October. Once the installation was done, two full lines were replaced and tested by the 19th of October, which means the sprinkler system in the precinct and at the National and the Old Assembly was fully functional by the 19th of October 2021. The fire panels as well, the system was rewired and retested. The gas suppression system was also reinstated. In fact, when there was a fire on the 2nd of January, our service provider was called out to actually remove some of the gas lines because those gas lines could have exacerbated the situation of the fire on the 2nd of January. On December 21st, the fire panels were reset after the power outage, and they were fully functional when the power was restored. Next slide, please. Now I'm going to talk to the issue of the frequency of maintenance in the precinct. The department can confirm, and this is the confirmation we even gave after the incident last year with the fire on the 14th of March. The department can confirm that all the equipment and all the buildings in the precinct are regularly maintained, and maintenance plans for the equipment can be summarized as follows. The electrical distribution boards are maintained or serviced annually. The lighting within the precinct is replaced as and when required. The fire detection system is also serviced annually. Fire extinguishers, fire hose reels, and fire hydrants are serviced annually. There's a monthly visual inspection for these particular items. For the fire sprinkler system, it is serviced annually, and we do the repairs as and when there's an issue that is picked up in the system. The RIMRAN system is a system that is linked between the precinct and the fire department. When there's a fire alarm in the precinct, it automatically reports to the fire department, and the fire department is notified of the fire in the precinct. We made a note here, because this is a note that we had to report on the previous report, that the pre-sonar inspection showed no irregularities with any of the equipment, and the fire department requirements were addressed. So annually, over and above the maintenance that we do pre-sonar, there's a full inspection that is conducted in the precinct with the City of Cape Town Electrical Department, with the Fire Department, and the departmental service providers, just to make sure that we are ready for sonar. Next slide, please. Then I move on to the security report. The reason this item is here, I think the minister indicated in the DG that the incident of the 21st of December affected the precinct. And with that incident, all the equipment, the security equipment was affected by the power outage. But in the precinct, we have a UPS, which is an uninterrupted power supply. And we also have standby generators so that when the electricity comes off, the UPS immediately kicks in. And then the generators as well, they also automatically kicked in when the power outage occurred. The security contractor for the security side was called out to Parliament on the 21st of December due to the power outage in the CBD. The team attended to the access control and the CCTV system to make sure that the servers were up and running for the DTEC client PCs. This is to make sure that the visual of all the cameras for monitoring Parliament and surrounds was actually up and running. So every time there's a power outage, the security contractor would come to the precinct just to make sure, if they are not in the precinct, just to make sure that the power outage does not affect, or if it has affected the system, then they would ensure that it ties up to the system so that it's up and running within the effective time. So on this time, they were called out because they are on standby. They came in and they dealt with this. Due to the outage, they found two video graphic cards. This is the technical term for the security component that was damaged on the video wall. Now, in the control room, you've got the normal computers that are sitting on the screen, but you also have a video wall which depicts all the cameras that are in the precinct. There's a number of cameras throughout the precinct. So that video wall reflects on all the cameras that are in the precinct, but there was an issue with half of the video wall, which was not displaying on the 100 Plain Street control room. However, the team ensured that the CCTV was fully in working order and displaying and alarming on the desktop PC monitors by the time that they left the precinct. Unfortunately, this matter was reported to Captain Straydom, and he also acknowledged that the wall was not going to be in its full capacity, but this did not affect the functionality of the system, the security system in the precinct. Unfortunately, when this incident occurred, as I reported earlier, the industry has been closed. So the service provider that is responsible for this particular item, which is the cards that we require for this video wall, was closed and for the year-end shutdown. And immediately when they are open, the service provider will acquire these cards and repair the half of the video wall to make sure that it's ready. This is the same service provider that calibrates the system for SONA as well as they do on yearly basis. From the date or the day of the outage or the day that the outage was experienced, leading up to the fire incident on the 2nd of January 2022, the CCTV system was in working order. The service provider was and is still on standby and is on site during this period with no faults that have been reported regarding the CCTV up to the incident that was reported on the 2nd of January. Can we move to the next slide, please? Chairperson, with your permission, this slide and then the next slide, we have this presentation with Parliament. It depicts the timeline from the time that the consultants were called, which is at 7:11 on the 21st of December, up until all the items were addressed, from the time that the power outage indicated. I think with the minister actually confirmed even yesterday that the power outage on the 21st of December lasted us almost 24 hours, which means our standby generators were affected. And if the standby generators were affected, we had to get the service providers to be in the precinct to refuel the generators because we've got fuel tanks in the precinct. So all the equipment that is in the precinct was affected, but our service providers were called in by the consultants to come and deal with each and every item. With your permission, Chairperson, I'm just not going to read line by line on this slide. if we can move to this next slide. This started at 7:11 until 12:16, when all these items were reported and addressed by the consultants and the service providers. Included in this update, the UPS in the Parliament IT needed to be assessed and needed to be online, and the consultants were informed of the status, and this was dealt with on the 22nd of December. The fire alarms, GSERV was on their way at the time of the incident. They went to the precinct and reset the fire alarms. The company that is responsible for the HVAC, they also went into the precinct and made sure that the HVAC system was up and running, the fridges, the walk-in fridges and the freezers, and everything was operational by the end of the day on the 21st of November. No issues were reported with respect to the fire alarms and the HVAC system after the reset process was done. The next slide, please. On the 22nd of December, Parliament IT advised that there was an issue in accessing the UPS at the NCOP and 90 Plain Street remotely. Then they were en route on site to check what was happening. The NCOP UPS was found to have been tripped, and Parliament IT reset it with the telephonic assistance from the term contractors. 90 Plain Street remained a problem, and the term contractor was dispatched to come through on site. The network card on UPS 1 had failed and the remote access was swapped to UPS number 2. Parliament advised that all was in order. No further action was then required from the department's side in terms of the functionality of the systems in Parliament until the incident on the 2nd of January. Next slide, please. Now, in conclusion, the department has dispatched the technical teams. We have two technical teams on site. The first team is the team of TEM facilities management, TEM contractors and facilities management officials that are assisting the fire brigades and the fire department in terms of switching on and off of specific items where they cannot access because they don't necessarily have the technical skills that we have as a department, and the colleagues actually know where to find these specific items. So the team of facilities management is on site. The second team is the team that the minister was talking about today. We just introduced our project managers so that they are responsible for the technical assessments that the minister has reported earlier. The site remains inaccessible until the area is declared safe for further investigations and assessment. But our team is giving the support both to the South African Police Services and the Hawks and the firefighters in terms of the structural assessment of whether they can go into specific areas. In terms of the report, Minister and the Honourable Members and Chairpersons, this is the end of my presentation. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you very much. In handing back to the Minister to conclude our presentation, our Honourable Members, I'd just like to confirm and emphasize that our systems were working as intended and were tested quite late in December to give us that particular assurance. So thank you very much, and let me hand to the Minister. Minister?
Thank you, Acting DG. I don't think there's anything else that I want to add at this stage, but we are ready to take questions for clarity, Honourable Chairpersons. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister, and for the presentation, and thanks also to your team. Before we can continue, I want to make a special request. I think we've done this before, that you share with us any form of pictures that you might have, because it will also take us time to be able to access and the Parliament present. It has happened before in the previous presentations. You were able to share pictures with us. And another set of pictures that I think might be of assistance would be on the security presentation. I think there was a slide there focusing on the security, where you were explaining how the cameras are connected, and you spoke about some technical language there that I do not understand, but if I see pictures, it might assist me to understand better. I'm not sure if you are in a position to do that, to share pictures with us. If pictures might also compromise the investigations, well, it's fine, but can we be advised, Minister?
Yes, Honorable Chairperson, we can confirm that the footage of the CCTV cameras has been downloaded by the Hawks, and it's now being secured by them as evidence in the case that they are busy investigating. So that unfortunately is not available because the Hawks have now secured that evidence from the CCTV cameras. We only had footage yesterday, late last night, of the emergency services drone that was flying over Parliament. They were not allowed to share the footage widely, but they agreed that we could take 2 30-second clips from the video footage that was shared with the media, and that is the current footage that we see all over on TV. But what we can do is that once we have got the assessment from our professional engineering team, because they are also using drones, we can see what pictures is available from there. But inside Parliament, it's pitch dark. Nobody's allowed to go in and take pictures. You can only go as far as the door of the National Assembly. But after that, nobody else is allowed. So I will check, Honorable Chairpersons, and see what pictures are available and share that with you later on or tomorrow. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sure the media would also be interested to get those pictures. Members, I'm going to make a humble request that when we speak, we raise our hands. And I'm aware that this meeting might be open to public. We're only going to allow members of the National Council of Provinces and members of the National Assembly to engage on the report. I'm going to request that when you raise your hand and when you speak, you also indicate which house are you representing and your full names. I think it will help for recording, and also the portfolio committee or the select committee that you are representing. So I think we agree in that order. I'm going to now go through the list and check if the members would want to engage. Okay, that's fine. I'm going to start with, please, number one is Matapelo. Matapelo Siwisa, yes. Graham May, Samantha, okay. Siviwe Karube, Naren Singh, Member Muletsane, I see the co-chairperson also, Member Hlangu, Member Khaiso, Hoshop, I'm sorry. Mandla Khai, Kenny Muimang, Magdalene Hicklin, Pumphile Maotwe, Sharon van Schalkwyk, and lastly, Becky Hadebe. In that order, I will not call for names again. In that order, members. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. This is Honorable Siwisa from the National Assembly, a member of the Portfolio Committee of Public Works. Chair, I'm listening to the report and I'm listening from the incident from the first fire in March until the second fire in January 2022. And the presenter says that maintenance was done or inspection was done in February before SONA. And then in March, we are experiencing a fire. And I'm asking myself, was there a thorough maintenance or investigation or an inspection that was done? Now, we know that the department has a tendency of not holding people accountable. And we are dealing with a department that has been moving from one incident to the next every single time we are dealing with public works. And we know that we are dealing with a department that does not actually, I think they've lost what they are supposed to be doing. They never give consistent responses. They never hold officials accountable. There's a lack of continuous maintenance. We even say, some of us are not even surprised of what's happening in Parliament because your basic buildings, your hospitals and clinics, they are not being maintained. And then we have to sit there and listen to such a report, which we are trying to shift it. It's a department that has moved from one disaster to the next. Now, the question that I have for the minister is that this engineering team that you are speaking about, is it people that are employed by public works, or are you going to outsource whatever that needs to be done? Mr. Kokela speaks about CCTV cameras and the UPS and everything. I take it that Parliament is like the hospital. Parliament is like the hospital. If the power goes off, something needs to kick in. That's how it happens. So maintenance was done. They found out there are some valves that are leaking. And then later on, they were repaired. And I asked myself, again, it goes back to the department has got an entity, the PMTE, that does not know what they are supposed to be doing. Because of the PMTE is responsible for maintenance and everything that needs to happen. But there is a lack of consequence management in this department. That is why we are sitting with such a disaster. Because everybody, what we understand is that if the fire triggers are working, we shouldn't be having a fire that has spread as it has spread. It should have been a small fire. It should have been picked up by the sensors and everything. But it simply shows you that the report that we are getting here, that maintenance was done, inspections were done in February, in March, there was a fire in the old assembly, and then in December, there was an inspection, and then in January, it's just paperwork that's happening here. So the minister needs to give us clear answers to say that we've got sprinklers that were not working. Are those official? Let's leave the person that is said that has been found on the precinct and everything. The officials that are supposed to be responsible to make sure that our buildings across from Parliament and to the hospitals and clinics and whether the hospitals are those officials that are responsible for that, are they going to be held accountable? Is there going to be consequence management? Because there's still another report. There's a court that caught fire. We don't know. We are still waiting for that one to hear what was the problem, even with that one. So the minister, when it comes, even if this is a preliminary report that she's giving us, we need a detailed report. That is going to say, these are the people that are responsible. These are the consequences that are going to happen. And we are going to make sure that each and everything is going to happen to the letter. Thank you, Chairperson. For now, that's all I have to comment on this report.
Good afternoon, Chairperson, and thank you for the opportunity and thank you for the presentations. My name is Samantha Graham-Marais. I am a member of the National Assembly and I am a member of the Portfolio Committee on Public Works and Infrastructure. I have a couple of technical questions that I'd like to ask following these reports that were provided today. One of my questions is that it stipulates in the report that fire department requirements were addressed. I'd like to know whether or not those were signed off by the fire department and whether or not a certificate of compliance was received in light of the fact that they did appear to address the fire department requirements. I'd also like to know whether or not the fire panels are being inspected daily as is required, although they did inspect other things annually and monthly, etc., as per the report. fire panels, to my understanding, should be addressed and inspected every day, and a logbook should be completed with each inspection. Were these done? And if so, which was the fire panel at which the fire alarm was triggered? Have we been able to ascertain that? I believe that the data can be downloaded. Up to 9,000 incidents are available through those fire panels, and I'd like to know whether or not we have access to that data. With respect to the CCTV system, it's all good and well saying that the CCTV system was working, but the reports we've been getting about this homeless gentleman who was in Parliament was that he accessed the precinct around about 2 a.m. in the morning. And my understanding is that the call for the fire was made. Sorry, somebody's machine is not off. Ms. Monshaw, your machine, your sound is on. Thank you. The call was made round about 6:15 in the morning. The gentleman was apparently on site from 2 a.m. How is it possible that somebody could spend 4 hours on the precinct? Ms. Monshaw? How is it possible that somebody could spend 4 hours on the precinct and not be
just hold, just hold.
Seen? Thank you.
Just hold, member. Sorry for interruption.
No problem.
Can we
Thank you.
Request that we please keep our mics muted at all times so that there should not be any disruptions, and allow members to pose their questions without any interruption, so that we also try to save time. And for those who are going to attend the 4 o'clock meeting should be able to prepare. I humbly request that we do that. Please, let's keep that discipline. Okay, thank you for interrupting you. I mean,
thank you, Honorable Mabe.
Sorry for the interruption. You may
No
continue.
Problem. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay, so my question basically is that from the information we've received, somebody was on the precinct in the buildings for 4 hours, had the time to set one, maybe more fires. How is it possible that these functioning CCTV cameras could not pick up that somebody was on there? And then finally, it beggars belief that there have been numerous reports. And they've been doing the rounds. So we've seen the SHE audit report from 2018. We've seen the fire incident report after March 2021's fire. We know about the BDO report and the findings with respect to the Fire Protection Services at Parliament. And yet we are still being told that every system was functioning and working. It is inconceivable to me that everything was in place. The March fire happened. Nothing has been rectified since the March fire, although the report has been done, and we've been told because of procurement issues, et cetera, et cetera. So nothing has been corrected subsequent to the March fire happening, and yet we're being told that everything was functional around the fire protection services. So I'd like to get clarity on that. Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Sivio Kwakhube. I'm the DA's Deputy Chairperson. I'm the DA Deputy Chief Whip. I wanted to ask just 3 questions. Following the questions posed by my colleague, Member Graham, I wanted to find out from the Minister the report that was compiled last year following the fire in the Old Assembly. Which of the recommendations that were included in that report have been implemented ahead of this fire? So to say, if there were 3 recommendations or 5 recommendations flowing from that report, which of them have been implemented before the fire broke out? I think it's quite important because, of course, there's been 10 months since we had that fire. And so it would mean that it's quite important to see that we would have rectified whatever deficiencies we may have had with regards to fire prevention at the time. And then, Chairperson, I wanted to, I am a little bit surprised that the Acting Secretary to Parliament declined to make any inputs. I would have assumed that we would have received the briefing from both her and the Minister, because, of course, these things are separate matters. We've got the Minister and issues pertaining to her mandate of public works. But we also have Parliament and Parliamentary Protection Services, and it would have been really useful to understand from the parliamentary point of view and the Protection Services point of view, what are their sort of account of the day, what has been done, and to get a report from them. Because I think we're only getting one side, or at least a very myopic view of what has happened if we're only hearing the report from Public Works. It would be very useful to hear from Parliamentary Protection Services themselves about what has happened, what went wrong, because according to the speaker herself, there were security breaches. So if there are security breaches, it would be useful to understand where they emanate from, so that we can really start to get to the bottom of how this was allowed to happen and who we can hold accountable. Particularly, Chairperson, because we've had now conflicting reports from particularly the Nahal, for instance, that has said that protection services have been over time reduced in Parliament due to issues of finances. And we had the Speaker yesterday disputing that fact. And so these two things are really, contradictory, and it would have been useful really to hear from the Acting Secretary of Parliament exactly where we are from a parliamentary point of view and where the security breaches were and what to make of these reports that have been doing the rounds. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Let me start off by saying I'm also concerned, as my colleague is, that the ASTP chose not to say anything, because I think they have a major role to play. And that role would go right back to 2018, the report, the SHE report, the Safety, Health and Environment report, which was commissioned by Parliament itself. And in that report, you know, I mean, the last line of the executive summary of that audit says that there was certainly non-compliance with a number of issues. So I think perhaps Public Works through the Minister can tell us to what extent did they look at that report, the SHE report of May 2018, and to what extent was remedial action taken on the recommendations in that particular report of 2018? So that's my first question, Honourable Chairperson. Second question is, you know, is also related to what my colleagues have been talking about, the cameras. It's well and good to have cameras and walls and everything else, but you need warm bodies. You need warm bodies to monitor these cameras, because you don't want to catch people after the act. You want to see what people are doing on the spur of the moment and act decisively. And it would seem to me that there were no warm bodies in that camera room at that time to really see what was happening, because whoever was in the building could have been apprehended. Now, we need to know, you know, to what extent there are warm bodies, and why were there no warm bodies at that time? The third question would relate to the sprinklers. I know the Honourable Minister had indicated initially, and thank you very much, Minister, for your hands-on approach there together with your colleagues, when the fire started. You indicated that a particular water valve was closed or shut off. Now that would cause us to assume that sprinklers in a particular locality would not have been working if there was a fire. But from reports that we received, the fire was, well, quote unquote, started in two different places within the parliamentary precinct. Now, are we saying that the valve that shuts off water for the sprinklers is just one valve that controls the whole of the precinct? Because if that's not the case, then why didn't the sprinklers in the other section of Parliament in the new assembly be functional? The last question I'd like to know is that the Department of Public Works, to what extent has work that you have been asked to do, remedial work by Parliament itself to ensure safety and health standards, were not done? And where these not done because of a shortage of funds, because we hear in reports as well, because of parliament, because of budgets, some of the work could not be done. And very lastly, Honourable Minister, media reports also suggest that it's going to take 1 billion rand to repair the damages. Now, is this a thumbsuck figure? who came up with this figure? Is it the Department of Public Works or who is it? Because I would think that, you know, this is going to have a very, very careful examination of what has been damaged, engineering defects, et cetera, et cetera, before one can come up with even estimates of repairing the damages there. Although whatever money we can put in is not going to restore the historic value of these buildings. And I've been there for 30 years now, and it's really sad to have seen what happened. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Minister, I just want to find out from you, but at least I'm a little bit covered in some of the questions, especially I'm covered one honorable member has asked about the certificate of compliance. And also I had a problem of the person who's in charge, who's monitoring the cameras. I wanted to know whether that person was sitting there doing his work, or maybe the cameras were just on there, he was not there. Then what I want to find out, Minister, again, is that if we can get the report, it can be sent to us, together with the acting Secretary of the Parliament. Even in the morning, we requested from you that can we be sent the report so that we are able to go through those reports on our own, so that we are able to compare the findings from both sides. And then, Minister, you reported that there are discussions whereby the city of Cape Town is willing to assist in terms of accommodating. I want to check, in your discussions, are there going to be any financial implications? Because you have said that they are prepared to avail the Cape Town International Hall, the City Hall, and the offices that they have just renovated. Are they going to avail them to be used, or there's going to be some financial implications? If yes, the estimations in terms of your discussions on how much is going to cost the Parliament. Thank you, Chairperson.
I have noted hands. If you know that I've noted you, please, members, let us just follow so that we lessen interruptions.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. It's Sonia Bossoff, and I represent the NCRP, and I also serve in this select committee. Questions were posed this morning because we had the opportunity to be briefed this morning at the NCOP plenary sitting. And I just have two questions that I would like to ask. As with Honourable Sawisa, I'm also concerned about the inspection prior to SONA, and then all of a sudden the fire broke out in March, and apparently there were no findings following this inspection. Is there any way that we can be provided with this inspection report so that we can go through it? And then with regard to Honourable DeLille's introduction, where she said that fire equipment service report has been sent to the Speaker, could we also be provided with this report? And can she today maybe inform us if any deficiencies were found on these fire equipments? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'll pick up from here. It's Madeleine Hicklin. I am a member of the National Assembly. In your report that was presented today, Minister DeLille, you spoke about the incident in March when you looked at the sprinkler systems. You said there was an issue with the water in the fire hydrants and the fire reel hose reels, that there was a leak on one of the lift shafts. You spoke also of the galvanized pipes that were replaced. Nothing was spoken about the fire hydrants and the fire reels. I am assuming that those have been replaced, but nothing has been said conclusively. again, one has to ask the question. We are a department. I am in the portfolio of Public Works and Infrastructure. We are a department, or we are a portfolio committee that does oversight over the department that seems to buck pass quite a lot when it comes to maintenance. And nobody ever really seems to take responsibility when maintenance doesn't happen. We take a great delight in saying it was Charlie's fault or Peter's fault or Mary's fault, but there is never real consequence management when things don't happen. Whose responsibility is it to actually make sure that maintenance does take place? We are very reactive and we are not proactive. What can be done to ensure that this department becomes a department of proactive maintenance and not reactive maintenance? Because that is all we are seeing. We are not a proactive, the Department of Public Works is not a proactive maintenance department. If you also look at the facilities maintenance across so many areas that are the responsibility of the Department of Public Works, the parliamentary villages, the fires that broke out on the 21st of December, horrific fires within the parliamentary villages, no horticultural maintenance within the parliamentary villages. It's all related. But just please answer the question about the fire hoses and the fire hydrants within the parliamentary precinct, please, as to whether those areas have been addressed, because largely everything else that I wanted to ask has been covered very ably by my colleague, Samantha Graham-Marais. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I take it that I'm the next to speak. Greetings to everybody on the platform. Chairperson, I think the procedure when it comes to meetings of committees is that we receive the reports before prior to the meeting so that we can go through the report and also prepare questions. Now, we are a bit disadvantaged that we've been just listening and to the report that Ms. Kolela was taking us through. But if we had the report prior to the meeting, at least they would be able to understand some of the areas. So with that, I want to suggest that we should still get another detailed report, particularly to these specific areas that has to do with the sprinkler system. I know there are specific areas in terms of the frequency as to when these are assessed. Some are annual, some are monthly. I know this was reported in the meeting. Sorry, my name is Mandla Khai. I serve in the joint standing committee on financial management of parliament, but also a select committee that oversight public works and infrastructure department. So if we could get a specific report on these areas that have been mentioned by members before me, the sprinkler system, when were they assessed? You should not just say annually, but must be specific in terms of date and month and on which they were assessed. The smoke detectors, the CCTV monitors, all those we need specific around them, not just a few lines with regards, because they are very important for us to understand as to when these were assessed. But also, perhaps, isn't it about time also to review the frequency on which these are being assessed? For instance, to assess the sprinkler system annually, once annually, I think there's a problem there. As well as the others, the fire detectors, to assess whether they are functional, you do that once annually. I think those are some of the challenges. I think, therefore, there's a need to review the frequency
of assessing and monitoring the functionality of these maintenance equipments. Chair, I would also want to find out with regard to the in one of the meetings of the Joint Steering Committee on Financial Management of Parliament, I did check whether the Parliament has a Health and Safety Committee. The acting the secretary responded that indeed there is a committee. I want to check where throughout the process that is being reported to by Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, what has been the role of the Health and Safety Committee? Are they aware of these inspections that have been carried out around the issues of electrical distributors, the lighting, the fire detection, the fire extinguishers, the fire sprinklers, remnant, all these things that have to do with the safety of the institution, whether these reports have been shared with these committees. But also the report, has it also been shared? It looks like it's only this report is just within the department. With who is it being shared with in the institution of Parliament? Because there's this duality, there are areas that are managed by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure in Parliament, but also there are areas that are managed by the management of the institution. So I think there should be some coordination in terms of this duality of responsibilities. I also want to check, because there are some of the issues that are in the public domain that I think need also to be ventilated in this meeting or being addressed. I think the issue of the protection services staff, I really think that we need to be brief with regard to as to why they were not on duty. In the public domain, there are issues of the financial constraints. There are issues of the reason why they're not there is because of the COVID-19 regulations, but also others have to do with the regard to the policy that the institution has around the issues of leaves. If we could get a clarity specifically around the issue of the protection services staff as to why they were not there during this period of leave. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Co-Chairs, and greetings to all Honourable Members. I want to appreciate the a presentation that has been made before this committee by the minister and the team and the chairperson of the NCOP. We want to commend the work that has been done by the fire team from the Cape Town Metro. So, chairperson, I just want to ask just a few questions. It's a pity that some questions may sound to be, you know, actually now probing or doing the kind of investigating, but it's not in that spirit. But it is unavoidable to ask this question in the manner that the presentation has been made. Firstly, it's on the issue of what my colleague has raised there, because one part of the protection service seemed to be missing here. And it will be of importance that as a committee also we receive a report, or the report should reflect as to whether were there any people who were on duty from the protection service who were not on duty on that day, so that we deal with this issue that has been raised, like what my previous speaker, Honorable Chai, has raised. It will be very much important, and to see as to whether indeed there was deployment of a team on that night or the morning, there should be a breakdown of that team that clearly shows that everybody who was expected, whether the team that was supposed to be there, in as far as the arrangement of the work duty, was there, or was there any shortcoming of deployment which is there, so that we know if there was, were there any particular reasons which were advanced such that it respond now to the question. I mean, all that is related to the work over that particular day, including the morning. I think that report must be well crafted so that we are able to see and know actually what were the shortcomings there, so that we don't samsak this information. It will be very much prudent that we get that information. So on the company or service provided, service providers that you spoke about during the presentation, maybe it will be important that we are also made aware that the selection of these service providers includes vetting. Because I can tell you why. So I think it's very much prudent so that we begin to clear any, suspicious things that, just by the getting a report, a written report, at least certain basic things we get cleared. So we must get that report as well, that all these people that have been mentioned here, as they are working in that key point, are they just simply being selected by certificate, excluding vetting, or were they all vetted people? And the other question, I should think is the last question, is on the fire detection. I think the report must also be able to tell us whether, if there's any abnormality by a fire sensor, is the system such that at the central point, are you able to detect a portion or part of any of this system that is not functioning well, so that it then raises alarm? I think it's very much important to also talk to those finer details, because it might be possible. I'm just thinking aloud, like if I'm just ordinary person that, okay, it's like one system or 10 of these minute system installed there were able not to capture or to be captured through the circuit board, and the message could not be decoded that there's a problem as such. Is the system itself able to see each and every corner that a certain sensor is unable to pick up immediately the problem that arises? So let me pause at that particular moment. Thank you very much, Honorable Co-Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good afternoon to everyone. My name is Umphile Maote, and I'm the member of the National Assembly deployed by the Economic Freedom Fighters. Now, Chair, and everybody, I think it's very clear that the SHE audit report that had recommendations that were meant to have been implemented by now were clearly not implemented. And anyone who seeks to want to...
I'm sorry, Chair. Can Honorable Mpile please open her video?
My network is very bad, Sisi. I can't.
Thank you, Sisi.
Okay. Yeah, so I was saying that anyone who wants to come and say that the SHE audit report of 2018 recommendation was fully implemented will be misleading and must not be taken for a ride. And, Chair, because of my network issues, I missed the better part of the presentation made by the chairperson of the NCOP. So I'll zoom into the presentation by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure.
The minister, when she was presenting, she said that the ICC offered the venue. Now, can she clarify what she means by offered the venue? I'm very skeptical because there's no free lunch. Very soon we'll be told that there's arrangements that now have locked all of us in. So we need to be clear, what does that mean, including the city of Cape Town that has offered a hall. And then I'm also interested in knowing, she said that there's already a professional team of architects, engineers, specialists and all that, who would be the ones who are doing the preliminary report. But second to that, then she says that the building, once the fire has been put down, will be handed over to the Hawks and no one will be allowed to enter into the building. Now, my question is, how and when will her team be allowed to enter? Because once it's in the hands of the Hawks or the police, correctly so, it will not be accessed by anyone. So how will her team access the building and by when? Does she have an indication of when? And also, this team that she's talking about, is it internal skills or is she sourcing out these skills from outside her department? And thirdly, the issue of the sprinklers, I think we'll deal with that when we get the proper report, because now we're just talking, it's just speculation. Sprinklers were not working, sprinklers were that, were not that. So I think we'll have to wait for the final report that will indicate what happened to the sprinklers and to the sensors and all that. And now, lastly, my question is, I'm sure that the cross-functional team, whether it be at a cabinet level or it be at a management level or executive level, that involves everyone, all the stakeholders who are involved in this issue, who would then indicate how and when and by when and all that, instead of what is currently happening. I mean, there's already media reports that the estimation could be this much and all that. That is very unprofessional. We can't work like that. So let's allow the committees and those that are meant to be part of the cross-functional team to do their work so that they don't thumbsuck, they don't come up with a misleading information. I mean, when did they do the report to come up with a suggestion that it might cost you this much to repair all that? So I think that's the Speaker of Parliament and all those that are tasked, that are part of the stakeholder management, should actually get this thing together and not allow anyone and anybody just to speak from where they are sitting. And then with all that, Chair, I'll pause for now. I hope we'll be given some chance again, maybe after the responses, so we can have follow-up questions. That's it from my side for now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the opportunity. I'm Sharon Panskalkwe, a member of the National Assembly, deployed to the Portfolio Committee of Public Works and Infrastructure. Chairperson, I'm not going to repeat what's already been covered by the previous members, but I just want to request, Chairperson, that I'm very worried about the absence of the Protection Service report. And can we have an urgent request in this regard so that we can have some indication of what transpired there? Then, Chairperson, I wanted to find out, is Parliament sufficiently resourced in terms of staff and other resources to optimally perform their duties in terms of the Health and Safety Department or section? Then, Chairperson, I want to inquire in terms of the frequency of maintenance. The other members raised their concerns in terms of no specific dates in terms of the maintenance or frequency of maintenance. But mine would be a little bit further stretched. I want to request that we get a specific report, a detailed report, which clearly indicates the the last maintenance reports or maintenances that has been done, specifically in terms of 2021, so that we can find out when we get the detailed report. They must also indicate not only the dates, but what has been found and the interventions that has been made through the findings that they had. So I'll pause there, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Kenny, Kenny Muman, the Chair of the State Committee of Transport and Public Works. Let me also appreciate the report in the manner in which it gives progress with regard to the improvement that has been effected since March last year. However, there's one aspect that is missing, coaches, that makes it a bit of a challenge to know exactly what transpired on the day when on the morning of the 7th of January. Without necessarily putting the cart before the horse or blaring and compromising the work of the security in terms of its investigation, I think it will be important, particularly from the report, because the report gives an impression that all systems were in place. Of course, there's an issue of the sprinkler that is coming to the fore, and the issue of the alarm system that is coming to the fore. But it will be important just to probably in terms of the interaction that the management of Parliament had police department, because they are the ones that are responsible also for many our entrance, but really given the fact that the Parliament is an additional key point, it will be important to get a sense in terms of your interaction with them as to whether is there a cause for concern in terms of the work that they were supposed to do in the morning of the incident that necessarily could have led to to the intruder breaching the security of a national key institution to the extent that based on what has been presented to court clearly and without necessarily judging a book by its cover, which obviously leaves one a bit confused. If from the public knowledge or from the media and what has been presented to court, somebody that is homeless could breach the security to that extent, the question will be the issues around the alarm, the issues around the sprinkler, the issues around where to call the fire. Have those issues been canvassed with the management, the department, with the management of the list of Parliament and also the department, so that at least we don't have to wait for the portfolio committee of police to brief the Parliament, because it leaves much more questions to be answered if those details are not coming forth from the report, because the report gives progress in terms of what has been done since last year, the intervention that was made since the December 21, but it falls short of the details that will put us in a much more better position to respond to questions that are being posed to us as members of parliament. Because what is beginning to emerge is that this person is homeless. At the same time, the public is saying that, they say that don't judge the book by its cover, don't be misled by what you see. There might be more information. But it will be important just to get a sense as to whether, on the basis of accountability, are there police that are already on suspension if indeed they could not do the work they were supposed to do on that particular day. The second point relates to the ability and capacity of Parliament to respond to disaster. As a national key point, as the seat of Parliament, as the epicenter of the the legislative arm of government, does it suggest that we are found wanting when it comes to the ability of Parliament to respond to the disaster of this nature, because there's a fact that there's also an appreciation of the work that was done by the city of Cape Town. The concern that I had was how the confusion also that was arising as a result of the press briefing that would be given by the MMC of Cape Town of Safety. Because it is important that as Parliament, we must have the ability to respond to such disaster without necessarily having to rely on the other spheres of government, because we are a seat of the legislative arm of government, and therefore, as a national key point, it becomes important that we are not found wanting when it comes to the ability of Parliament to respond to any disaster of this kind. Thank you, Chair.
Jim, I'm a member of this committee, Financial Management Board, Committee for Public Works and Infrastructure. Chair, Honourable Moi Mung has pretty much covered what I want to say, but what I find interesting is Stratum, who inspected the camera systems on the 21st of December, found that they're not working optimally, and there seems to be no further escalation of that particular problem. And then this morning, when we had a briefing by the Acting Secretary of Parliament, she made it quite clear that the security of Parliament, the perimeter of the security of Parliament, was the job of the SAPS. So I just would like to know from the Parliament, is she, by saying that this entire incident and the inquest into Parliament was as a result of a failure by the SAPS, and then just an assurance from the powers that be that the report will include a very strong section on the actions of the SAPS in terms of Captain Stratum, who's the only person actually mentioned in the report, and also the perimeter security of the campus. In all my time, about 8 years here in Parliament, I've never seen police patrolling the back perimeter on the garden side, for instance. I've never seen them actually patrolling outside or in a particular area. I'm not exactly sure what hourly patrols are conducted around the perimeter of Parliament. And it would be where the weaknesses are that could have led to this.
Who's next, coaches?
I see Mahlangu Mahlo. Brown, can we have Brown maybe before? Okay, let me do this.
Let me recognize Brown and the co-chair, Maso, Lisoma, and Hadebe is still my last speaker.
Can I recognize the last co-chairperson?
Oh, so. You will come before Hadebe. Okay. In that order, members.
Chair, is it me?
Yes, Comrade Marshall.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Chairperson, let me take this opportunity to greet the minister and also the chairperson of NCOP, including my colleagues on the platform. I would like to welcome the presented report, and I do have some specific questions on the issue of maintenance. The first question that one will ask is that what procedures does the department follow after work done in the department? I would also like to understand and also think that as members of parliament, I think we need to get a report on monitoring and evaluation of the work done after before the monitoring and evaluation report that the department is having before the incident happens. We just wanted to check how they deal with their issues in the department so that we can be able to find out as to why this happened. Chair, most important issue will be on the matter of another matter that one will ask the department to clarify me, which is the issue of unavailability of funding to implement some of the most important specific savings of the national key points. I just wanted to check when they said they did not have enough funds, what do they mean? Because as Parliament, I think we have the responsibility of making sure that all goes well if we are informed accordingly by our technocrats. Chair, I will also definitely support those who spoke before me that we need to be given a detailed report as soon as it's available, as the minister has promised to give us that report after they have done whatever is needed to be done. Chair, I'm not convinced that as the people of South Africa, we cannot protect our national key points. Definitely sure I'm not happy about this situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Co-Chairs, and good afternoon, colleagues, and the Minister, and all other technocrats that are in the platform. Firstly, Chair, I'm not going to ask any questions, safe to say that I have been covered, but I would like to make a suggestion, and I'll leave it to your discretion whether the committee will agree with me or not. One is that I am suggesting that we must take this work, or I'll call it a project, as a special project that outside our normal routine of doing our oversight, that we pay closer attention to it. That will mean that we need frequent meetings so that we can get continuous, correct, concise update in terms of the proceedings, and also moving forward, what the mitigating factors will be within the parliamentary precinct as a whole. I guess, to Chair, as the purpose of the meeting was to get a briefing with a clear understanding that there will be no concrete because of the time in between Sunday and today, and also the meetings that have been happening, where it expects these very same people to report to various stakeholders in terms of the oversight. I will suggest that having not received the report, even at later today, noting that the meeting was called, it was a special meeting, but of course it was going to be a case, the right thing to do that, even whether the is a draft report or what, would have received, we would have within an hour gone through it so that we get well prepared, that we receive that report, we go through it, if it's updated, well and good. But also what I'm suggesting that must accompany that report is the occupational health and safety plans of Parliament and its implementation. How far has it been implemented? What are the, where are they having any challenges? What causes those challenges and how are they going to overcome them? Issues of maintenance would be incorporated there. Secondly, on the same second item, which is would be B of the same item, will be also, let's say there have been in March, as the public works through the minister have indicated, which is very encouraging, that there has been some work, specific work that has been in responding in the March fire. Who was the project manager? Was it an internal project manager who did took over giving or issuing a certificate of saying that the job is well done, so that we know that there's a quality assurance that is being done? The last one, Chair, if we can get that, it will talk to also the frequency, the mandatory frequency of requirements that are mandatory, and the actual frequency of checks in terms of the occupational health and safety requirements, as it were. If we can get that, would be very much happy. The third point, Chair, moving forward as the committee, management parliament, that we get a report, it will be if it will be ready at the time at your earliest convenience that you see in terms of the workings of parliament, when you can meet, and where is going to be held, and also which will also cover the financial implications and the meaning thereof of the venue that will be have been chosen. Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. And let me start by greeting the minister, the co-chairperson and chairpersons of the portfolio committees, portfolio committee and the select committee. I'm not sure if the deputy minister is on the platform. The chairperson of the NCOP and the colleagues, very good afternoon. And saying to my colleague, Comrade Maina, your camera was not on. I know you don't do that usually, but I know when you are somewhere, your camera was not on. But this is not because we enjoy or we just want to look at people, but it's part of the kind of work that we're doing. And we want to make life easier for our stakeholders as they communicate to the public. We are accountable to the public. Chairperson, much of the things that I wanted to comment on has been said, and maybe one is fortunate to have been part of the meeting in the morning. And okay, you said we must introduce ourselves. I'm Dikeledi Mahlangu, the co-chairperson of this committee of a joint committee on financial management of parliament. I'm the MP in the NCOP. That's the reason why I'm part of this meeting here today. Chair, much of the things that have been said, and we have had engagements previously. Honorable Minister, you'll remember, we, as the Joint Committee on Financial Management of Parliament, we have requested you to come and talk about many other things. And I don't want to cloud this meeting with issues that are not relevant to the matter. I'm just informed that the Honorable Speaker is on the platform. Honorable Speaker, you're most welcome. And I think the co-chairperson will give you a platform to say a word. I need to acknowledge your presence and appreciate your presence. Chair, I think in each and every incident or an unfortunate situation that we find ourselves in, there's a lesson that we must learn. And the first thing that comes to me when I saw this happening, being reported by media, was that what have we learned from the previous incident? And when you speak in comparison with what has been happening, you know, I'm taking this from what the Honorable Chairperson of the NCOP, that Emerson, have said. Ordinary people, when they heard what you were saying, Tate Masondo, they might misunderstand what you were saying, because I think you were talking about the electrical fault, which was informed by the report and the investigation that was done on the fire that happened in March. But for now, I don't think that there's anything valuable after listening to the minister and the team, the speaker and the team, yesterday in your press conference, when you said the temperature could not allow people to access the precinct or the building itself. And that is understandable, because ourselves as the committee, hence we are doing this jointly with the select and portfolio committee on public works. We wanted to go there. We wanted to go and see what is happening after we have given the technocrats, the people who have the know-how, the specialists to do the assessment and take that report to go and do our own physical oversight. But it is impossible. We understand that, Minister. That it's not possible now. But having said that, I don't know if the acting secretary expected maybe the executive authority to speak on the matters of where is the loophole, actually. Because Public Works is an implementing agency in terms of the building. But in terms of the management of the personnel, the responsibility lies with a parliament, and we expect parliament to account on what happened, who was there, who was not there, and if indeed the cameras were working as per the report from the minister, they were 100% working. It means even if the person has been identified after an hour or 2 hours or so on, you would have the footage to see what is happening. Hence, I'm saying, have we learned a lesson? And I also ask myself the question as to this incident happened immediately after the funeral of Ntate Tutu. May his soul rest in peace. And we had the president, the former presidents, they were there. you know, we had church leaders, cabinet members. How safe were all those people, the mourners who were there, how safe were they? If this person could access the parliament, because the church where the service was is very near to the building of parliament. So, which means this person was around. And Honorable Mimang, I don't know if it's Honorable Mimang or Honorable Khai, say, and I share the same, sentiment with you, because I thought our parliament is not really treated as a national key point, because it's surrounded by people day in, day out. Whoever wants to do anything, the way people get in sometimes, it's questionable. But it's our responsibility as the portfolio committee, I mean the joint committee and portfolio committees, to oversight and make you aware of the loopholes. It is really, really embarrassing. I shared the same sentiments with you to say maybe it's a homeless person, because we are surrounded by homeless people who sleep around in the doorstep of the parliament entrance and all that. But watching the news, as you were speaking, there was a reporter who was at the venue or the homestead of that alleged perpetrator. It's not a homeless person, but I'm not equipped to can say that. There are so many questions, Minister and Speaker and Chairperson, that comes to our minds to can say, what is it? What is it that is happening? And I could really feel your frustrations after reporting that the fire has been extinguished. Then it started again, in flames. I could feel your frustration, and you must know that you are not alone, because that parliament belongs to the people, is the parliament of the people. But it's also our workplace where we are supposed to do the mandate, to carry the mandate that the people have elected us for. So it's very frustrating. So it's very difficult to can say that, to can even say now that we will be able to get the report on Friday, because whoever is responsible to do the assessment needs to access the building. Will they be able to access the building? I doubt if they will, but they know better. And as the minister has said, you have been engaging different stakeholders and organizations who are responsible, who are there to help us. And this issue of saying there were people or there were no people at work, we might not want to put it as a problem, but if it's a reality that there were no people, what was the reason? Those workers who were supposed to be there, if they were not there at that time, who is supposed to be responsible for that? Because a manager must take a responsibility if the subordinates are not at their workplace, their workstations. So we should not make a mistake of coming to a conclusion before we get the necessary report and blame other people and try to make other people as scapegoats. And it's a pity because some of us will be tempted to say things that we are not supposed to say. For now, we want to hear the report, which is informed, which is factual, before we can come with the way forward. Because the way forward will be informed by what the technicians are saying. I don't want to say other things, Honorable Co-Chairperson. Like I said, that I've been covered. I had a whole list of things that I want to raise, but I want to give other people an opportunity to speak. I don't know if I'll be triggered after the responses, but I believe I won't. And thank you so much for the opportunity. But what is has happened really is very devastating, very devastating to the nation and to all of us as deployees. Thank you very much, Co-Chair.
Thank you, Co-Chairperson. Good afternoon, Co-Chairpersons, the Speaker and the Chairperson of the Council, plus the Minister of Public Works, plus our colleagues, compliments of the new season, plus the hardworking staff of Parliament. The hardworking staff of Parliament, which was on the scene on Sunday very quickly. So what I'd say here, the one who's speaking here is Biggie Khateve, the member of the Joint Standing Committee on Financial Management of Parliament from the side of the NA. So what the first of all, what I'd like to do is to commend the two reports. One of the, right, I'm not going to show my picture because my signal is very poor here. If I show the picture, I think that I'll be kicked off the platform. But what is important here is that when we spoke with the co-chairpersons in calling this meeting, one of the reasons was to end speculations. It's very important that as the parliamentarians of the Republic of South Africa, we must not be fed information about parliament or government from the newspapers. Instead, we must get it direct from the authorities that are being, either the executive on the side of the ministers or the executive authority of parliament. What Honorable Masondo said when he opened this meeting, he emphasized the role of parliament. Why is it important? What is done here? Actually, what is happening here is that these committees, these four committees which are here today, they must be commended because just within a split of a second, they were able to assemble to come and listen to what has actually happened to this national heritage site. So what is very important is that for us is that we cannot, as parliamentarians, take decisions based on speculations from outside. Actually, we must get the hard facts. Just like this narrative which is running now, that person who entered the parliament is homeless. It is not. It is in the record of the court that person has got the address, has got a family, so he cannot be homeless. But the issue which we must address here is that how did he gain access to parliament? Because the parliament is the national key point. It is guarded 24/7. It is guarded by the police and by the protection services. So it means that the only way this person could have got in, he should have got assistance from within. That's why the issue of the cars, of the CCTV cameras, I think those cars are so important. We cannot have a situation where a national key point is exposed because of unavailability of the parts of the system which is maintained within that. So I think that what is very critical in moving forward is that there are certain equipments within the parliament of which there must be an agreement with the suppliers that they must be available 365 days in a year. Even if the country has gone on leave, but they must be able, if there's a need, they must be able to make, just like in the various municipalities. When you speak about the water pumps, the sewer pump, there are agreements with the suppliers that even if it's a Christmas day, if the water pump tanks, the supplier must come and supply. There's a standing agreement around that. But I think that what is very important here is encouraging from the report which is coming from the minister to me, that they have already appointed a 10-member team of engineers with various expertise. And the only report which we must accept as parliament is the report which is going to come from them, because they will have done the assessment. The drones, they will have, as the minister has said, that they have used the drones. The drones will have picked up the information inside. So whatever's there out in the public is not the truth. It's there just to create chaos. So I think that what is very important, what is very important about this meeting is that I strongly suggest that even the interim report, the first interim report when it comes out, it must be delivered to these committees. The executive authority of parliament and the minister must alert the co-chairpersons of all the committees, the four committees which are here, so that on the day it is released to these committees, because that's where they account. They don't account to the media. They account to the members of parliament. As Honorable Masonda said, that the parliament has a particular role to play, that of oversight. So that's why that the first court of call, where the executive authority and the executive, that is the minister, must account to parliament. So in moving forward, I think that we must coordinate our program in such a way that when that report is going to be released, before it goes out to the press, it must be delivered. The press is invited here. They are part of this meeting. They are locked in. So that report, when it is presented, it must be presented so that everyone outside there, even in the world, must know that the Parliament of South Africa was not destroyed. It is functioning. But what is also very important is the issue of preparing Parliament for the work which lies ahead. In the next 2 weeks, the portfolio committees will be working. They'll be doing their job. Part of doing their job is to oversight the executive. I think that Obama Masondo reassured us when he said the Parliament work must continue. I think that's what we must all do. But what we must do here is that because we will be looking at a different operation center for Parliament, I think that this issue of the cost of that operation center must be taken into consideration. I'm worried that only two options were looked upon. There are a lot of venues around Cape Town here. There are universities which have got a lot of space, of which where we, if you can go there, and then we use some of their facilities, it can actually help them again in financing their own programs which they are having there. But the issue is that even before that decision is taken, I think that we must come back to this committee and wait, because only two options, I think it's too limited. If you know the issue of the tendering system, they say at least minimum three, whatever. So, but I think that what we must look upon and what implication is there. But apart from everything that what has happened here, I think that we must appreciate the speaker, the executive authority of parliament, the minister, and the presiding officers for the work which they've done in doing in handling the situation. I think that we can see that South Africa is taken serious over the world, because all the international news agencies, they were covering live what was happening in the African in South African Parliament. But what we must do is that as it was our fault, we must learn from the mistake. What is worrying here is that basically from the last year's fire, the contract they are going to start doing was expected to start on March 2022. I think that when we deal with this thing, we must try to short-circuit this issue so that the parliament becomes fully functional. Thanks a lot, Chairperson, and all the members who are here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you very much, honorable members, for the valuable inputs that you have made. I think in the main, it's about lessons learned. What have we learned from this?
I just want to make a comment and hand over to Member Mahlangu to then facilitate the second part of the meeting, which will be responses from the department and the presiding officers. Also welcome the speaker. We are informed that she is part of the platform, but Member Mahlangu will then take over from me after I have just done my few comments. I think listening to what members have been saying, you know, sometimes if you have a picture, it helps because now you know exactly what you're talking about. But I want to also conclude that the room 454 fire that has cost Parliament 11 million as a rounded figure in few months, it has also been affected. I just want to be clear on that one. You know, coupled to that, there were offices that were being renovated. So members spoke about public works doing this and, you know, moving from one project to another, that their work is not coordinated. And we at some point don't understand, you know, what is it that they are doing. Maybe in the next meeting, we would want them to give us a breakdown of how much they have spent in terms of renovations in Parliament. The previous fire, and maybe the report on this fire as well, it will be available. At least we should have a rounded figure for us to know. For us to know and understand how much they've spent for maintenance generally and payment of consultants and that, but that are related to Parliament. So Parliament is as a national key point, you know, security and safety, it can be compromised. And I'm not sure, you know, most developed countries, they have a policy of destroying buildings that are more than 20 years and above. Maybe it's something that we also need to start looking into. Because, you know, sometimes maintaining an old building, it becomes more expensive than just building a new fresh building. And also an option of maybe just putting that whole structure down. I'm just suggesting as a politician, not as an expert. I know there would be a lot that can happen before maybe that is being suggested, because Parliament, it's an old building. I'm not sure how many years it has been there for. So those are the other options that maybe we might look into. But I think the best option will be any option that will then be able to save money for Parliament. Honorable Chair, we hope that this is also not an attempt to undermine the gains of the revolution. Hence, we would want to make a plea to the law enforcers to make sure that they conduct a thorough investigation into this matter. I would not want us also to conclude that a homeless person that has been seen in the Parliament precinct maybe would be the one that has caused started the fire. It could be something else, you know, but maybe at this point we'll leave it at that. It is the only suspect that we have and the only evidence that we have that might lead to the cause of fire. Members, we also want to make an appeal that we try to be as transparent and involving as much as possible as we could. But when we speak in different platforms, we try to speak what has been presented to us. You know, we speak facts. And we don't do any insinuations that will then cause conflict, messages, things that the department did not say. So far, there is no any other report that has been tabled outside what public works has tabled before us. So without any interference, let us allow the investigations to unfold, and we should also not make a mistake of rushing them through. Let's give them time, let them investigate, and at the point when they are satisfied, then they will then be invited to come back to us and give us a report. But that does not move away the fact that maybe we should agree, maybe on a weekly basis, because this is new, we need to be kept posted at all times. We will meet maybe in this format so that then they come and give us weekly progress. Then when time goes on, then maybe then we'll then maybe agree as to how then we're going to approach this going forward. Chair, those are the few comments that I wanted to make from my side. I want to now officially hand over to you and thank you very much for the opportunity. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Co-Chair. And may I assure the members that are posing some questions and suggestions on the chat group in this. Dominating the chat group is the report, Minister, from Public Works. Members are requesting, but also Cindy, the committee secretary, has given her email address, that whoever wants that, I think also media will want that, but more especially members, because this meeting has been broadcasted at the all media, if not mostly, media houses, they are part of this. So this is a history, and it's something that is next to the people's heart. And the other thing that I want to request, as the co-chairperson has just handed over to me, we have heard from members that you'll be having another meeting at 5. I think the leadership that is here, you are going to have another meeting at 5, and we are left with 28 minutes from now on. So I'm going to request that, I don't know if the speaker will want to speak now, or she will speak at the end of your responses, because she was not here, and allow... Maybe firstly, let me allow the acting secretary, because there are questions that are directly posed to Parliament itself, and we cannot say Public Works and Infrastructure must respond to that. It would be unfair to them. Can we give you Mejawa? Can we please just browse through the questions? And I think we're going to need frequent meetings starting from now, so that we are not left behind, as other members have suggested. I'll request the Mejawa and Public Works Minister and your team just to give responses. And we are aware that you don't have full information. Also, you are relying on other people to give you information, and then thereafter we'll give over to the secretary. But in the responses, I think you can also suggest the way forward, because we want the way forward. Going forward, how are we going to deal with this matter? We can't wish it away. Mechawa, can you talk to my...
Yes, Coach, I can. Thank you so much. I want to thanks very much for all the questions that were raised about occupational health and safety report, about the work of the parliamentary. Can you hear?
Oh, no. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Secretary is muted.
You are muted, madam.
I was just saying, according to what we've been listening very carefully with our managers, we will, because we don't have a written report, instead of doing a narrative, we're going to liaise with the Secretariat, Cindy, take up all the points that you've raised, and pull together a report for the committee, as we normally do present that report to the Joint Standing Committee of Parliament. I'm asking that the committee allows us to do that and study all the points that have been raised by the members. Thank you very much, Chairperson, if you allow me.
Okay. Can we make life easier for both of us, yourself and your team, and also the members here and interested parties, that we agree on a time frame?
Yes, ma'am. We are always given 7 days to submit on the questions that are raised by the Joint Standing Committee on Finance. We will adhere to the 7 days. I will consult with my managers. I'll consult with Public Works, whom we work with currently, and submit that to yourselves. Thank you so much, Coach.
Can I hear from the members? Because it's not for me to make a decision. Depending on the kind of report we usually give members, Parliament 7 days. I see Treasury is also here. You're welcome, Treasury. Who's calling for my attention? Honorable Singh, is it you?
It was Khai.
I think it was Honorable
Khai. Honorable Khai.
Yeah, Chair, I was going to suggest that
Honorable Khai should
have. Yes. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, because Chair keeps on calling my name. Chair, I was saying that let's agree with the suggestion of the acting secretary. That that report could also assist us in terms of the updated information that may be gathered between now and the time of the submission of the report. But also, I would like the report, those areas that we have been emphatic on, the details, the final details on those issues that particularly about the functionality of those areas that continuously are maintained. If we could get a specific and detailed report around those issues, including the monitoring of the CCTV, all those. In short, I agree that let's allow enough time. That will also assist in terms of an updated report. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khai. Honorable Singh?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, it is unfortunate that we are not, we cannot get responses to at least some of the urgent queries. I believe that some of them could have been answered by the ASTP because there have been media conferences, etc., and answers have been given to some of the questions that honourable members have raised. But having said that, I mean, if it is their request that they require some time, then I suppose there's nothing more we can do. But I must say it is rather unfortunate that we can't receive any response to anything at all. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Singh. I hear what you're saying, but we must not feel like we are being pressurized. If we think it's possible for us to get that report before 7 days, and the report that we will be getting will be informed and will be helpful for us to have a way forward, we must not feel allowed to be oppressed. I understand what she's saying as well. Honorable Lissouma?
Honorable Chair, please allow me not to put my veto. I've got a challenge of connectivity. One Chair, I would like to align myself with the Honorable Khai safe to say that if they can do it within 7 days, not actually 7 days, that will be highly appreciated. But also the other points that were posted, also if we can get responses on those ones as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Maute.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I'm very worried that we spent almost 3 hours now. We're heading for the third hour now, and we're told that none of our questions can be responded to, and in response, we need 7 days. It can't be. It can't be correct. This is a very serious and urgent matter. For that matter, this meeting was called as an urgent meeting to come and give clarity. So all we're asking is for clarity on the questions that we've asked. I mean, why then were we convened to come here and to listen? We're sitting a wrong precedent. Already we've got a president in the country who doesn't take questions from anyone, including the media, when he does press conferences. So this is the same as a press conference, because we now can't be receiving questions. It's unacceptable. And we're saying it can't be that all questions, all of them, none of them can be responded to. So what is the point of us being here? And in 7 days, what will be happening to the nation? The nation is asking questions. We are the public representatives, not representing ourselves, but the people of South Africa who have asked us to ask these questions. So we must go back to the people of South Africa and say to them, Parliament says we must wait for 7 days. It can't be. And an earlier point was made that we must not be getting reports from the media. But that's exactly what's going to happen. We, as the members of Parliament, we saw this thing through the media. Now we are here. We are convened to come here and listen and get a clarity of what exactly happened. We are told, no, wait for 7 days. But it doesn't mean that in the 7 days, the media will not be receiving anything. We will be going back home now and be getting responses from the media. It can't be correct. We want our questions to be responded to. And those questions that are not, the people are not able to respond to, those questions can be deferred. But it can't be that all of them are not responded to. It's totally unacceptable. I reject that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Khwarive.
Thank you, Co-Chairperson. I think we need to be very careful about simply paying lip service to accountability. There's a reason why these meetings are called, and there's a reason why ministers are called to account. There's a reason why these questions were posed. Otherwise, then we simply could have just written a letter of our concerns and sent them through to Parliament. But there needs to be accountability. And it doesn't mean to say that the questions that can't be answered now can't be deferred, as the colleague before me said. They can be. But there are questions that can be answered now. I find it absolutely mind-boggling in that, for instance, that the accounting authority of Parliament has not said a single word. Not a single word has been said by Parliament about this incident. We've not heard from her about exactly what has gone down and what is the account, and particularly what Parliament is doing to essentially ascertain what has gone on. This is absolutely unacceptable. We can't accept this as members of Parliament, because ultimately then we're negating our duties as holding the executive to account and getting answers and getting to the bottom of this. And so I plead with you that regardless of the time constraints, that there needs to be other answers. Otherwise then we've just wasted our time. And quite frankly, it's an embarrassment. The people of South Africa who are watching at home, who are simply seeing us just rubber stamp and simply listen to a presentation and not interrogate it. I think it's an insult, and I think that we should really be given an opportunity to interrogate some of these presentations.
Okay, before I give to Honorable Mazoni, I think to a certain extent we agree. And there's a reason why I requested Mechawa to speak. And in our responses now about the 7 days speaks to the Parliament point of view. And we still have the speaker, unfortunately, was not here. I'm not sure if the chairperson is here. Hence, I said to Mr. Honorable Singh when he spoke to say, we must not feel pressurized to agree to that. And I see you, Minister. You can take your hand down. I see you. The 7 days does not apply to public works. The minister and the team, they are here to speak. And majority of the members here were not part of the meeting of the morning. Hence, the members felt it important to be part of this meeting. It was really expected of you to say something, but I will allow members to engage, and because that's how I usually do that. Members must engage. It's their meeting, and I'll be guided by them. Honorable Mazoni.
Thank you very much, co-chairperson. Unfortunately, the system seems to not, now it's allowing me to start my video. Thank you very much. I would just like to say that I strongly feel that what we've done is perhaps put the cart before the horse. And I think that the 5 o'clock meeting should have perhaps happened before this particular meeting happened. Because I think that at 5 o'clock, the presiding officers are going to be able to give the chief whips and the deputy chief whips, who are ultimately responsible and are the spokespersons in their in their respective caucuses, a good opportunity to interrogate what has been going on and to answer questions. Now, we must also be fair to ourselves as members of parliament and realize that this fire happened within the last 48 hours, and the last of the fire was put out only 24 hours ago. I was at parliament earlier with Honorable Gwarube and Mr. Steenhuisen and Honorable Samantha Graham Maria, who was on this particular Zoom. And we saw for ourselves how the fire chiefs were still on site in case the fire was to flare up again. So I think it's almost impossible to expect answers to many of these questions, because the very answers that we are looking for are currently being sought by those who we have put in place to get those answers. I think what the Republic of South Africa needs to hear from us today, and the message that they need to hear very strongly, is that we are defeating those who try to defeat democracy by making sure that democracy, in fact, continues to work no matter what the circumstance. So we know, I mean, let us all be honest, it is impossible that a fire of this magnitude could be started by what we now know is a homeless man who broke into our building. We know, without having to speculate or to make any assumptions that could be dangerous, that there is something very sinister afoot about this particular fire and the way the fire was able to restart because it was so strong. So I think that committees, we should not be sitting here singing praise to one another. We should not be sitting here looking to harm one another's reputations. We should not be sitting here looking to pass blame to one another or to pass blame to any particular committee. I think what we should be doing is we should be showing South Africa that no matter what kind of emergency emerges from Parliament, we are able to seamlessly flow and keep the business of government at hand. Now, whether we choose to use the Good Hope Chamber in the hybrid system, whether we choose to use the City Council Chamber as offered by Mayor Jordan Hill Lewis, whatever we decide, we must decide with haste so that the country knows that the Parliament's work continues and that the members of Parliament continue their work. Even if we continue on Zoom for a certain amount of time, that's fine, because the committees have been meeting on Zoom. But I think what is very important today is that the 5 o'clock meeting has to happen, and this meeting should then get a report back from that particular 5 o'clock meeting. Now, I must say, co-chair, and you know this very well, and it's not your fault, and you know many times I have said to you that I think that parties need to answer for this happening. This committee really meets because it really has a quorum that allows it to meet. This is the first time that I've been chief whip that I have seen 74 participants take part in this particular meeting. This is a very important forum that must meet and must meet regularly, which means that we must make sure, and that's the chief whip's jobs, that those that we appoint to sit on this committee take this committee seriously. So I would not like to see you or the co-chair being blamed for anything today. I think you've done the best under the circumstances that you could do, but there are simply some questions that cannot be answered, because I can tell you I've been at Parliament many hours in the last 48 hours, and there's simply, I mean, there are still too many questions that need to be answered. So I think that the 5 o'clock meeting this afternoon is going to be dreadfully important and critically important, and I hope that it's opened to the media, because I think that in all of these investigations, the media must be taken on board so that the country knows that there are no cover-ups happening, and I think the more independent our investigations, the better they will be. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, I think co-chair.
Okay. Is Honorable Mazumdar? I think my internet is the.
Okay, she is chair.
Okay.
No, I thank you for me allow chair. That is very important. That to explain that we're not saying that the questions mustn't be answered, but as Honorable Mazumdar is saying, I thought it's common sense to say that. Oh, I hope I'm not offending anyone. That within 48 hours, we can't have a concrete report. But also, I thought that the response agreeing on this was based on what Honorable Singh said earlier on, so that we can have a coherent and one response. And I think that one was very important for us also to take note when we speak. Also, we do also think through what we said earlier on, so that we get, and also it's better when you get a written report, that way you are able to get to hold somebody accountable moving forward as well. As that's a proper way of doing the oversight from where I'm seated. But the rest, yeah, I'll leave it there, Chair. But there was a logic, a practical, technical, professional logic for me to agree on that. Even Honorable Co-Chair Mabe did say that we might as well meet weekly. I thought also, as we are going to close the meeting after the responses, you will also emphasize that we'll be meeting next week. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Lesoma. I have indicated the point and emphasized the point that we are going to meet as frequently as possible because we are dealing with crisis. I have not suggested a date as to when, but I wanted us to agree on the 7 days. But practically speaking, as per the engagement, I can see that we want to agree on the 7 days, and the 7 days, I think, will give us a fruitful report that is informed, that is going to give us some sense of what is happening and empower us to suggest the way forward. I see the hand of Natasha. The minister wants to speak because she must also go to the 5 o'clock meeting. Natasha's iPhone. Who's Natasha's iPhone?
Thank you very much, Chair. Oh. It's Natasha Ntlangweni, Chair.
Oh, okay. Can I see you? I haven't seen you.
Sorry, Chair. I'm in a place. Yeah, I won't be able to switch it on. Please, my apology for that. But I will assure you on the next meetings, I will show you my beautiful face and beautiful smile as you know it.
I miss it.
Chair, I think it's quite disappointing at this stage. You know, when one is being called to a meeting and we are using resources of parliament to come and sit in these meetings and we pose questions and we don't get the answers, number one. Number two, yes, I think parliament was also well aware that they are still waiting for professional feedback from the engineers to say to what have happened. In the main, that the fire have brought break out, and to have a meeting of such nature quick, it's a waste of time. In its main, we could have just simply get a letter that have explained all of what we were told in this meeting, which was frankly nothing. And then because this platform should have actually also have met more often, Chairperson, to even prevented such crises to have happened. We have said on numerous platforms as WIPs that Parliament is not safe. where we stay is not safe. We have had many numerous complaints about police and how they are handling their work, and nothing has happened. And yet we are told that this platform must meet frequently and it doesn't meet and all of that. And it's quite a shame to even say that as a whip. It's quite a shame. And I think there have been many proposals. And it's not a need, it's not a must. What is this entitlement that we feel that the DA is having towards that this parliament must just sit in Cape Town? The president can have his State of the Nation on Zoom. There's no problem. It's even saving parliament more money to do the renovations that they claim they want to do. So this thing of wanting, just having an obsession with having this State of the Nation in Cape Town, it's really ridiculous. So we need to stop with this obsession that the president can't even now think what other venues. He's having an office, he can have it on Zoom. There's not a crisis here. There's not a crisis. It's quite disappointing that you even, I'm even speaking, Chair. And you know, Natasha Mazoni never disappoints at wanting to attack me. She even goes to the chat, while I'm speaking. And it's quite sad that on this platform, you have a chief whip that just want to act like simply like a child. And it's quite disappointing each and every time. So I will leave it at that, Chair. Let's meet frequently to find common solutions to the problem that we are facing currently. Cape Town is not the high and mighty place that it must be. The president must meet and have his State of the Nation in Cape Town. He can have it on Zoom. We have been operating on Zoom for 2 years. There's nothing that is going to stop us with the work of Parliament by simply a fire that a homeless man is being framed by the perpetrators that are sitting behind this.
Thank you, Natasha.
Thank you, ma'am.
Is Natasha done?
I'm struggling
with the network here.
I'm done. Thank you so much.
Okay. I think, honorable members, we need not to be emotional when we deal with the thing. And it's easy to go overboard and allow our emotions. As much as we feel aggrieved or we feel unhappy, let's committee and portfolio committee, but we are here to work as a team towards a solution. We are not witch hunting. We are not here to disrespect each other. And I think to my honorable member, Natasha, it's not for the president to make a decision. The speaker and the chairperson of the MCOP, they are the ones to make that decision. And as if you were here when the minister started, she said that these are the offers that they received, and it's up to the executive authority to make a decision as to which way to go. Honorable members, Taiso and Peg, can we allow the minister to speak? Please, I beg of you. She must go and present the
week. Agreed.
Thank you. Taiso, are you fine?
Agreed.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that very much, your cooperation. Honorable Minister.
Thank you, Madam. Honorable Co-Chairperson and to the honorable members. I just want to put it on record that the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure is always willing and able to come to any request and call from the Honourable Members of Parliament to play their oversight role. I must also put on a record that what we have presented to you today is a report of progress on the fire that the speaker requested because she couldn't be here on Sunday. She was driving down from East London and we had to give her a report. So this report is only related to the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. The speaker had many meetings. Separately, she called the emergency services, she called the police and parliament. So all a collective report, this was certainly not this. And I think the 5 o'clock meeting that Honorable Mazzoni is referring to will be putting all of those reports together. But just quickly to a few general issues before I ask the acting DG to come in. The one is we must not stop speculating. The separation of powers, the independence of the judiciary. The man appeared in court this morning. He had a name and he had an address. So we must now not stop speculating that the person is homeless. The second general point I want to make is concerning the monitoring of the CCTV cameras. Yes, it's correct. There was nobody to monitor the TV cameras from 2 o'clock in the morning when this person entered the building until 6 o'clock when the police arrived. And for that, I think Parliament will have to answer and the Secretary of Parliament. I cannot, unfortunately, answer that. The next one about the alternative accommodation, nothing has been confirmed. I was speaking earlier on about the outreach and the outpour of help from all South Africans. And these were like offers made by the city and the province. And I simply took it directly to the speaker. And the mayor also contacted the speaker directly. So nothing has been confirmed, no arrangements have been confirmed, no cost has been confirmed, and the speaker will finally decide, you know, what they are going to do in terms of alternative accommodation. So I just wanted to assure members about that. And then again, also the Parliament Protection Services must answer for themselves, the police must answer for themselves. We had General Patekile, the police commissioner, he was on the site with us on Sunday. He can answer for themselves. And then there are some general remarks made by some members, some without substantiation. Now, we are not reporting here now on a specific, because normally the committees will request us to come and report on certain issues, and we always comply. We always meet with the Portfolio Committee of Public Works on any issue that they want us to comply with. So to make this general statement as if this department is in such a mess without giving specific examples is also not correct because the performance of the department can't be linked to the cause of the fire. And I think all of us, there's no conclusive evidence that what is the cause of the fire. And until such time there's conclusive evidence, we cannot link the first fire to the second fire. And this is what is causing the confusion. But I want to thank the Honorable co-chairs for the opportunity. I think also the meeting was premature, that this was really just a report that we presented to the speaker and the presiding officers yesterday. I have made note of all the questions raised by the Honorable members. And then in the final report, we will include the answers also to those questions raised by the honorable members today. So I just want to say thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, for the responses. And like we all said, it's too early to can have something tangible that will inform us to suggest or to have a way forward from where we are. And I think the minister has touched on most of the issues that you have raised. And we just have to be patient with each other. I don't know if you are teasing each other on the chat. The Natashas and everybody, please, let's not abuse this, because it's an official platform, and everybody will have an access. It will be recorded as such. So let's say, please try to tolerate each other and not tease one another. We have each other's phones. Honorable members, thank you very much for the opportunity. I think between the co-chairpersons and the chairpersons of the select committees and the portfolio committees, will talk amongst ourselves in consultation with our leaders, the whips, as they are going to meet now at 5. We will also check the availability of the minister if needs arises, and other role players. But as I close, I would really like to give honorable speaker to say something before she steps out of the meeting and go to the Chair. Other meeting, the 5 o'clock meeting. Is she still
Chair.
In?
Chair.
Yes, 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 Chair. Co-chairperson.
He's still in.
Chair, it's me, Chair.
Who is that? Umphile.
Yes, yes, Chair.
Okay.
Just a quick bite on my side. I want it to be put on record that this meeting was called and we were not responded to. All our questions were not responded to. So Parliament must stop this tick box exercise. You want to go around telling people that you convened members of Parliament to give them feedback of what has happened. But when you ask questions, we're not responded to. So I'm very, very disappointed by this committee and yourself, Chair, for not allowing not even Minister Delil to respond to the questions. So it must be on record. This meeting never provided any response to our questions, I think.
Honorable Maoto, you seem to be having a problem, and I think you have been trying to trigger a certain button in me, and I'm not going to allow you to do that. I allowed the minister to speak, and the minister spoke. If you are not happy with what she said...
The minister did not respond. Chair, you were there responded. Listening to her. She did not respond.
You know what?
You were there.
I don't know how do I sit.
You were there listening to her. She did not respond to any single question.
Co-chairperson, you made a ruling that you must not come
pull
back.
Me into that direction.
It was wrong that you allowed Honorable Maoto to
no,
come
No, you know, I'm very...
Becky,
I'm very,
you're not
I'm
a chairperson yourself.
Person.
You're not
I'm
a chairperson yourself.
And
you have the platform yourself
as members.
Well.
I always allow members
We're all
to speak,
equal here.
But
don't
I don't
come
want
here
to remember
or this committee. You are not.
Advantage of my kindness. We
no, there's no kindness, Chair. I'm stating a fact. It's a fact that the minister did not respond, and you allowed her not to respond. It's a fact. It's there. Which response did she respond to? Which question did she respond to? She didn't. It's a fact. I'm not attacking anyone. I'm just stating a fact.
Honorable Chair.
Honorable Chair.
Please allow, if you could, please allow us to. I have to leave the meeting. To go, the next meeting starts at 5. And we are chairing that meeting, and we've been waiting for an opportunity to say something, to comment. But I think that the meeting at 5 o'clock, whips will give you an opportunity to interact with whatever it is that you will present at that meeting. Please, if you could allow me to leave, I think it is very rude of us to keep the political parties waiting, particularly because some of them are logging out from this meeting to attend the other one. If you allow me, Honorable Chairperson, I, however, said that, of course, some of the questions which were raised could not be responded to, but I also do want to make the point that, yes, there was a Secretary of Parliament here. There was also the Chairperson of the NCOP, and I have been here for some time now, and maybe we could have been asked, all of us, even though the information is scanty, even though we're trying to put the pieces together about what may have happened, but I think, Chairperson, I would have been able at least to give you a glimpse of what we have been discussing together with the Acting Secretary of Parliament, because whatever meetings that I have been holding, I am holding them together with the Secretary of Parliament. So it is unfortunate that we're not given that opportunity. I am not moaning about it. I'm just stating the facts because the time has come now for us to go and be part of the other meeting, which should have started at 5 o'clock. So, Chairperson, I am not being rude. So if you allow me, Chair, may I?
Okay, Honourable Speaker, I think I did indicate that after Honourable Minister, I was going to allow you, and hence I requested other members not to speak so that we can allow you to speak on behalf of Parliament. You can
the point I'm raising is I made a point of order 7 minutes after five. There are members who are waiting in a meeting which I have invited them to. And some of them may be leaders of political parties or chief whips of political parties, but just to touch base with them. But just to say that, Chairperson, whatever it is that will come out of that meeting, I am sure that can always be communicated to the committees. That's the first point I would like to raise. The second one is that it's been agreed now that there will be regular meetings. The next meeting is likely to be next week, and we will be part of that meeting, and we will be able to provide information as much as is possible in the same way that one has been bombarded with a lot of information. It will be proper that we share whatever little which we can, information which we have access to. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you if you allow me, please. Chairperson, may I take leave?
The chair is muted.
You may, Chair. Speaker, my network is troubling me.
Okay.
I'm being interrupted several times. I couldn't hear the better part of what you were saying, but I heard what you said, that you have to leave for the meeting that you have called.
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable members, I want to take this opportunity once more to thank you to avail yourselves for this meeting, and also thank the stakeholders who were part of the meeting, the media who communicated the proceedings of this meeting to the community of South Africa. Thank you very much, honorable members, and we'll see each other the soonest. We want to thank the executive authority and the minister and all the leaders who are in this meeting for availing themselves. So thank you very much, and keep well, be safe, and be on the alert for another meeting. Thank you so much.
One physical meeting. This Zoom is a waste of time. Please.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Maoto, what are you saying?
We want a physical meeting, Chair. This thing of Zoom is a waste of time. Now you are just calling up the meeting without us.
You were talking about a Zoom song, and now you are saying you want a physical meeting.
I want you face to face. You, Chairperson. You. I want you face to face.
We can meet anytime and not in a meeting.
Yeah. Anyway. This thing of Zoom is a waste of time. You are protecting people here. I want to hold them responsible here.
Bye-bye, Chair.